Think about all the different ways that the Bible describes what it means to live as a Christian. The Bible, for example, describes it as a race. It also describes it as a boxing match. Even describes it as a war. And the reason why the Bible uses all of these violent pictures to describe what it means to be a believer is because of the reality that we all face. We are no longer under the power of sin, and yet we still fight against it. We are not bound to sin the way that we were when we did not believe, and yet we still feel its influence within our body. And as long as we're still in this body, we will continue to fight against sin. That's why it's like racing to win a prize. That's why it's like pummeling ourselves in order to keep this body in line. That's why it's like a war against our desire to sin. Of course, this struggle is only going to end when we finally die, or when God takes us into glory. And yes, Christians, it is true that sometimes this struggle is a lot easier, and sometimes this struggle is a lot harder. Sometimes we stumble and fall. But God, in His mercy, gives us the strength to fight. God forgives us in Jesus Christ. And there is mercy when we fail. But sin is something that is very crafty, Christians. Sin can so easily deceive us, because it often tries to make itself look better than it actually is, so that we end up making excuses for our sin rather than actually turning away from it. We know that we often sin in weakness. That's just a reality of being in this body. But do we turn that weakness into an excuse for sin? Do we justify the things that we are doing by saying that we're all sinners by nature anyway, giving ourselves all kinds of leeway about this so we don't actually have to repent of what we do? I am a sinner, someone might say. I can't help it. So it doesn't matter if I sin. And besides, God has forgiven me already in Jesus Christ, His Son. Now, this is exactly the kind of danger that Paul warns us against in our epistle reading for today, when he says in verse 15, "What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means." Being under the law would mean that righteousness was something outside of us, that it was something external to us, something that didn't actually change the heart. But being under grace means that the heart has been changed. Now things are different because I'm following God from within. It is a righteousness on the inside and not just on the outside. But some might say, when they think about that, well, if I'm righteous on the inside, if I'm righteous from the heart already, what does it matter if I sin? Grace means I already belong to God. Grace means that I'm something new in Him. Grace means that He has made me His own. Therefore, sin is nothing. It's something on the outside, something that won't make a difference. It doesn't matter if I sin or not. I am not under the law, but I am under grace. And Jesus will simply forgive me anyway. But that's not true, Christians. God's grace was never meant to be an excuse for sin. And God did not give us His only Son so that we could continue doing what we did before. God has given us Jesus so that we are a new creation in Him. Because, as Paul tells us in this reading, in reality we are slaves. Slaves of one master whom we must obey. We were the slaves of sin, Paul says. We were bound to sin and bound to do its will. We had to obey what it told us. But when Jesus came and forgave us our sins, now we have changed masters. Now we are slaves of God, slaves of righteousness bound to do His will. Being set free from sin does not mean that we are just free to sin. Being set free from sin means we now have a new master in God. But how do we know who our master actually is? Well, Paul says in verse 16, "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness?" Let's break that down a little bit so we understand what he's saying. He says, you present yourselves to, do not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves. In other words, he means the one that you claim to serve, the one that you present yourself to. But in reality, Christians, it's possible to say that we serve God when in reality it's just words. Because the truth is actually known in what we do. We are slaves of the one that we obey, not and either sin or God. If I say I love God, but I hate my brother, then I don't actually love God. If I say that I serve God, but I don't feel any guilt whatsoever about stealing from work, then I don't serve God. If I say that God is my Lord, but I refuse to do what he says, then how is he my Lord? I am the slave of the one that I actually obey, not just the one that I say I obey. And therefore, we have to ask ourselves this question when it comes to our weakness. Am I stumbling because of the weakness of my nature? Do I stumble and fall into sin because of the corruption of this flesh? Or do I say that I'm stumbling and that I can't stop doing this because in reality I just don't want to give it up? Do I struggle with being angry, for example, especially sometime in the past? I know it's something that I really have to fight against. Or do I say it doesn't matter if I get angry because I've been forgiven anyway? Do I find it difficult to remain chaste, to remain pure, especially in this sex-crazed culture? Or do I actually enjoy these things and I just say that I'm sorry afterwards again and again and again? Do I recognize my tendency towards pride and ask God for his help in fighting against it? Or do I simply excuse it and call it zeal, think that I'm actually serving God in this way, and therefore there's nothing to ask for forgiveness for? Yes, Christians do stumble. Yes, Christians do fall back into sin. That is the reality of this sinful flesh that we will struggle with for as long as we are still in this world. But there's a tremendous difference, Christians, between struggling with sin and falling back into these things and making excuses for our sin, trying to cover over the evil that we do with the grace of God. Because in the first case, when we're struggling with the reality of sin, we're still the servants of God. We're just struggling with our deep corruption. We seek to do His will, but we fail sometimes because of the reality of this flesh. But on the other hand, when we make excuses, we are actually the servants of sin, delighting in it, even as we say we hate it. And that can only lead us into destruction. But why should we be the servants of sin? Why should we go back to what we once were? Why make excuses for sin rather than trying to turn away from it? I mean, consider the result of all of this, Christians. Consider what you get out of it. Paul says in verse 21, "But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." Sin only leads to death and judgment and destruction. Sin promises you so much and yet gives you so little. Sin is a cruel master, one that does not care for you. Sin feels nothing about using you and then throwing you away like you were nothing. So why should we make excuses for it? Why should we keep coming back to it? What good are you going to get out of it? It is nothing, and it leads to nothing, both now and in eternity. But through Jesus Christ, Christians, you are no longer the slaves of sin. You have been set free from its power and called to serve God as a result. And consider what you get out of serving God. Paul says in verse 22, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life." Yes, God as your master lays a yoke upon you. But as Jesus says, it is easy and light. To serve him is not degrading. And God cares for you, Christians. God delivers on his promises. God builds you up instead of tearing you down. And God is at work within you to make you into his own dwelling place. And in the end, he will give you eternal life. What greater master could you serve? And more than this still, Christians, God as your master knows your weaknesses. He knows what we struggle with. He knows the things that we have to endure. And Jesus, as our great high priest, can sympathize with us. He knows what we're going through. And when we do stumble and fall, as we will while we are still in this flesh, we can find in Jesus Christ the forgiveness for that sin. And he will take away its guilt, and he will take away its power. And he will make us new again and again in his sight. As John says in 1 John 2, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Therefore, Christians, let us not make excuses for sin. And let us not use God's mercy as an excuse. But let us truly repent and call on Jesus Christ as our Lord. Because in him we will find forgiveness for that sin. In him we will find the strength to fight against our sins. And in him we will find true freedom from sin, so that we can serve him in everlasting righteousness and blessedness, both now and in eternity. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, who has forgiven us our sins in Jesus Christ, lead us back to yourself each and every day, knowing that you have promised us mercy and true freedom from sin in your Son. In his name we pray. Amen.